It's time for Lori on Liberty on 94.9 News Now. And here she is, Lori Hopkins Cavanaugh.
Welcome to the Lori on Liberty Show with your guest host, Hal Shurtleff of Camp Constitution, and my guest co-host, Tom Moore, also of Camp Constitution.
Huzzah!
Tom is a longtime friend and one of our instructors, and we're very glad that he's able to join me. And I want to thank Lori for giving me the chance to fill in. This is the second time I filled in for her. I think we handled ourselves pretty well last time around. We should do it again this time. I've got a really good lineup of guests for this 2 hours. Coming up in a minute or so is the Professor Willie Soon, one of the top, I call him one of the top climate realists in the world. Coming on at 1:30 is Debbie Bacigalupi, who actually is a rancher, an expert on Agenda 21, who lives in Northern California and lives in the area where these fires. So we'll be talking about the California wildfires. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll be talking about this odd holiday that's somewhat forgotten about, Tom. It's called Thanksgiving. I have Pastor Garrett Lear, the Patriot pastor, to talk about that. And at 2:30, author and journalist Alex Newman. So my first guest is Willie Soon, Professor Willie Soon of the Harvard Smithsonian. How are you, Willie?
Well, thank you, Hal. Thank you, Camp Constitution, for teaching the children really well. And I'm very proud to be a part of Camp Constitution.
Well, we're very honored to have you. Willie's been an instructor the last couple of years, and we'll be back next year, God willing, with his lovely family. And, of course, before we get into our discussion, we're going to be talking about mainly the sea level issue, but other things as well in this segment. But if you go online and do a little research on Willie Soon, the left-wing journalists, if you would call them true journalists,
fake news,
will say that that Willie is some kind of evil scientist that gets gobs and gobs of money from big oil. Well, Willie, if you don't mind, I mean, I could use a little bit of that when you see to it next time you get a big check from the Koch brothers or from ExxonMobil. Can you, in a couple of minutes, can you just sort of discuss that to set the right tone?
Well, maybe just to say that if you consider Reverend Al Sharpton to be an incredible source of information, I mean, those guys, Reverend Al Sharpton, New York Times, Greenpeace. Remember, Greenpeace. I mean, they are neither green nor peace. Well, they just want your green, put it that way. And for the listener, I do want to announce this thing, because we're going to have a report to expose the Greenpeace dirty trick in terms of the amount of money they got. You could not get the number. It's very huge. They're very cash rich, which means they don't keep all their money. It's all cash. I mean, these people are really, really very, very rich campaign group that doesn't do anything but to serve the left agenda, put it that way.
And they are a UN NGO, non-governmental organization. All you need to know about Greenpeace.
Yeah. So, and of course, as I tell people, it was the Rockefeller brothers that funded the modern environmental movement. So it's been big oil is really on the other side of the spectrum. So, Willie, every other day, I live in Boston, and I happen to be I get tweets from our incredibly intelligent Mayor Marty Walsh, just great.
Macho Marty.
This great I'm being facetious and patriot, about the horrible sea level rising and all the stuff we have to do to take care of it. Yesterday, I got a Facebook person made some nasty comments on our Camp Constitution Facebook page saying that the sea level in Florida has gone up 8 inches, and it's accelerating more so in the last few years, and we have to do something very drastically. So, most of the people who listen on this show are very intelligent, but they're probably not all atmospheric scientists. So in the best layman's terms, could you explain why we don't have to worry about high tide coming in today?
Taking gondolas to work?
That's correct.
Well, you essentially explained just about everything in the phrase that you use, tide and all that other business. The very first thing we should remind everybody, because we did talk about sea level very nicely in the 2018 camp, right? So tell everybody, direct everyone to that video.
Oh, yes. So Willie did a nice one, about a 50-minute lecture on at our camp this year. It was this year.
And then, of course, we immediately want to jump into, first of all, that number about 7 or 8 inches, it depends. If it's over 100 years, I'll give it to them. The number may be accurate. But in terms of saying that the sea level is acceleration, that is a joke. I mean, that one, in any way that you look at it, it's mostly a trick in some sense, which means there's quite a lot of dishonest scientists. They are basically playing tricks on you, essentially, to put it very simply. The problem is that the most accurate information we have on sea level changes is essentially of the order what we can measure from tide gauges. Remember, tide gauges, you really have to be concerned about how accurate can we measure this thing. Okay? And then just ask those people who actually accumulated the data themselves. Science is very important. You have to be very serious. If your data is no good, that means you're no good. I mean, all your information is just a joke, right? Just think about it. Would the guy in Boston, does he go out? What time does he go out every day to measure this sea level? It's basically just a ping pong ball in a tube, right? Basically, measure relative to a ground position. You're trying to see this thing floating up and down. But if it's going during the high tide, then we're in deep trouble, isn't it? If it's going during a low tide, then we're in trouble. So how do you get rid of that tidal signal? That's one thing. But I'm trying to tell you, the best analysis that I have come up with and which I said during the talk is that we have only sea level rise that we can observe because we have a period called Little Ice Age about 3 to 500 years ago, right, where the glaciers built to a maximum size. Okay, that is really the coldest period of the last 10,000 years in some sense. And so we built out a lot of ice. No doubt that what does the ice do? Started, singing and dancing? No, it melted when it had too large of a size. Essentially, it will start to melt again because the sun started to warm it up. So you have some kind of a sea level rise of that nature, which is something that preceded any man-made effect. But the number is very important. The number is only of the order of 4 to 6 inches per 100 years. I mean, there is a comedian who joked, please, somebody take the ruler up, look at how large and how small 4 inches is, right? And then there's a comedian who says that if you don't know how to step back, inches, in 100 years, in 100 years, then you deserve to die.
Willie, I have a topical question for you. I heard that we're going to have actually a very cold winter this year in New England. And that is due to I think the term is solar minimum, that the sun, they're actually, I guess some reporters are actually acknowledging that the sun is a major effector of our weather, which it is, as opposed to, man-made greenhouse gases. Can you speak a little bit to the solar minimum that is upon us?
Sure. Yes. If you look at the activity of the sun, let's say the last 1 to 2 years, including now, right? What you call deep minima now. This deep minima is something that we haven't seen for close to the last equivalent time. Perhaps it's around 200 years ago.
I heard that, yeah.
It's indeed unprecedented. It's a time period called Dalton minimum. And now we are seeing a modern minimum. And believe me, I want to be very cautious here as well. I have done this study for really a long time, 25 years, so I felt that I do have some credibility to speak on this issue. So 25 years of serious research. And the last 5 years, I've published about 5-6 serious scientific papers to explain what happened. So indeed, what we think happening is that we may be under a process or undergoing a period that it could be even deeper than what the last 200 years, which means back 350 years, that's another period called the Maunder minimum. That's the period where, on the northern hemisphere of the sun, where you don't see sunspot for 70 years. That is a very, very extreme condition. And we do have all the information to verify that fact. And what we are telling you is that perhaps in the next 20 to 30 years, so some of my colleagues predicted, but from my own work, we see something that it would happening about 2030 to 2050. So you can predict anything about 30 to 40 kind of years ahead, and that we may be in such a very precarious situation, which is really, I wish that I'm wrong, I have to say categorically. But scientifically, I think that we are right in that sense. So what it may come, we don't know, but except time will tell. But I try to tell you that if we were to undergo such a situation, you can forget about this nonsense about atmospheric driving global warming, right?
Right.
Because humanity will have serious, serious problems. In fact, for the last 12 years, I have tried very hard to try to create this world awareness, this situation where we can call for everybody to group together, set aside all their political differences, to be prepared. Because what we really need to do is to be prepared for what we need in the coming cold time. I mean, just imagine if you have even substantial ice coverage in Boston or certain area for a long time period.
Yeah, Willie, I can speak a little bit to that as kind of an urban prepper. So in Boston and eastern New England, where we are now in Connecticut, this is the region of America that grows the least of its own food as a percentage. So if they stop trucking it in, as you say, for snow and ice or any type of emergency for even like 1 week or 2 weeks, you have a very serious food rioting situation.
Oh, it already happened in many places when they misused the corn situation, right? In Mexico, I mean, imagine you guys don't have tortilla, they're going to kill somebody. You know, I'm so sorry because these people are using corn for ethanol and all this serious scam. I mean, it's just unreasonable use of food, you know?
What's interesting, Willie, I was giving a presentation out in Indiana on Agenda 21, and I mentioned the ethanol. And I had a farmer come up to me, and he said, "What's worse than putting ethanol is not a good ingredient for your vehicle. If you have a truck, a 18-wheel diesel truck, you know, over the road type truck." I asked a guy. He said, "This is terrible because I used to get 2 million miles before an overhaul. Now it's a half a million miles.
Yeah, so, it corrodes your engine.
That's right."
Exactly.
And the farmer said. Well, the farmer said that many of his fellow farmers are chopping down trees to plant more corn because the government's guaranteeing money for the crop. So, again, when a government gets involved in the marketplace, it always disallocates stuff and makes a mess of things. So here they are trying to fight a non-issue, and they're causing more problems.
Right. And then where something much more realistic in some sense to prepare for the cold, just remember – In the 70s, I mean, the most popular notion is actually coming ice ages, right? And they were not entirely wrong because there was another factor that related to what we actually think that we can see in the next 20 to 30 years or 50 years or so. I mean, this is why this IPCC, United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, by the way, they are meeting in another 2 weeks in Poland, another one of those big day, 12 days kind of party, nonstop, nice hotel and all that useless things that produces just about nothing, except for, hey, somebody got to throw in some money to the piggy bank now. We're going to use this money to scam even more money, to redirect the funds, you know, to tell the Africans started to not use any hydro dam. And then, you know, in Africa, if you use hydro dam, they won't fund you. You got to use wind and solar. That's basically what they're doing to the rest of the third world countries.
Where they really need the technology so they can become a first world country. It's almost as if they don't want them. You've heard this term, developing nations. It's they're never developed, but they're always developing, which means they need money from the West, which means we have to take from the productive sector here to give it to these third world kleptocracies.
It's a form of enslavement. I mean, these people are just doing so many things wrong that I just felt that we should have all the energy we have to keep fighting this sort of thing because it's very unjust, first of all. I mean, there's so many things wrong with this current modern type of nonsense, that so-called environmental movement. They are not for environment at all. In fact, they are doing more harm to the environment you could possibly imagine.
Well, you know what's interesting?
People are saying that we should not emit carbon dioxide, which is food plant.
That's right.
What are you going to do? I mean, the only evidence we have so far for carbon dioxide doing anything to the system is basically greening of the planet. For Christ's sake, excuse my language. What do they want to do? They couldn't see the globe temperature to warm. Now they switch to other topics. They are constantly changing their target and then hoping that people are kind of, quote-unquote, stupid enough in some sense. These are the kind of stuff that they actually talk about, all of us, behind
the scenes. Willie, who was a colleague of yours? I think it was a father and son team that did this carbon dioxide enhancement environment.
Oh yes. Craig and Sherwood Itzo from Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. Yes, they were the one that planted this sour orange with high enrichment and showing how big the orange grows and so on and so forth. And Sherwood Itzo at one time was co-authoring a paper with me that got actually threatened because he was still working for USDA at that time.
Really?
Department of Agriculture. And they threatened him to pull his name out of the paper after we got pre-approval from his bosses, Al Gore and those guys behind the scenes, trying to stop him from printing a paper with me by threatening that he's going to chop down their sour orange experiment. Because he, at that time, he was, has the longest-running free, you know, kind of carbon dioxide enrichment experiment in the world. For almost 25 years, been running the experiment. Tell me, Al Gore, do you really care for science? He doesn't want to find out. All he wants to do is control you, control you, control you, and doing all kinds of bad things in between.
And making money out of it, too.
I'm so sad for these people, yeah. And I mean, unconscionable, and they're wrong.
And you know what? Al Gore has, like, one of the highest carbon footprints of any American citizen, too, with his private planes,
butt,
and he's got several houses. Yeah.
Yeah, his butt is so big. I mean, some people are just amazing. I mean, no conscience. I mean, they are doing things like that. Now, I have to mention the ISO story because it makes me really mad. So when ISO has to pull his name out, I was so mad that I said, this is really... And these people are saying that we are trying to interfere with science. We're trying to censor them. These people have done that to most of us. Most of us, myself and my other colleagues, I'm actually the most unfortunate one because there's quite a lot more on me than normal people simply because I guess I won't shut up, you know, that sort of thing. And this is the kind of stuff that they thought that they could get rid of me long, long time ago, put it this way.
Willie, there is one thing that Hal and I, we do a parade every year, a Flag Day parade. And a couple of years back, this is in Dedham, Massachusetts, small town, but it has a big Flag Day parade. And right in front of us was one of these green floats, and they were giving out these little green
footprints,
making little kids feel guilty just about being alive. Little kids, you know. We would throw them candy and give them a constitution, and the other people would give them a footprint and just make them feel guilty about breathing, you know.
Well, there was an article just recently in De Smog. Is that the name of the website?
Yeah.
Which is to say far left would be a little charitable. I think the stuff in there would make Lenin blush, but they did a little story about Camp Constitution, and they called you and Lord Monckton notorious, not just climate deniers, but notorious climate deniers. Can you comment a little bit about just the article and also some of the very negative press that you get? You get some positive press when you get on, a few shows here and there. I know you're on the David Knight Show.
This is why I say that every time I meet somebody, especially including you, I'm quite sure you can verify that. I ask you, are you sure you want to work with me, right? Because I've been in this business for 30 years, I can say that, right? I mean, day in, day out, fighting this sort of stuff. And then while I'm doing my scientific work, publishing my papers, in fact, I have nothing to live for except writing those scientific papers, gain some understanding to spread the wisdom. And those people from Canada, by the way, run by some kind of unsavory characters, put it that way. They've been caught to be scamming the Canadian taxpayers, have been gone to jail, that sort of stuff. But anyway, they are actually coming after me and Lord Monckton for a very long time. So this time, I guess they finally heard the news that Monckton and I come to Camp Constitution and doing our best to try to teach the students instead of indoctrinate them. And they actually now are trying to... In fact, it's a very typical kind of Alinsky technique, right?
That's
They're
right.
They're basically imposing something that they actually have done to the kids on us, which we have all the videos to show. Since when? In fact, they were complaining about Monckton showing the kids the mathematical equation. God, I think every parent should be happy that their kids are taught a little mathematics, you know, instead of talking about fairy tales and cow fart and you know, unicorn fart, whatever.
Well, you know, actually...
These people are so bad that I think that they are basically using us, they're using us to get money, you know, for their group, basically. I'm sure there are some people, the useful idiot for their group is doing the stuff, but they won't be able to convince any of this. In fact, if you see one of the commentator on the comment part, I mean, there was somebody that I do not know. One lady was very kind, very gentle, and saying that they're going to keep supporting Camp Constitution instead of them. It's a victory to us in some sense. I mean, people can tell, you know.
But by the way, you can watch the videos of Willie Soon and Lord Monckton at Camp Constitution by visiting our Camp Constitution's YouTube channel. And there's some great, this is great stuff that you could show your children and you could send to people in your circles. And they use the term brainwashing, this leftist group. Brainwashing is sort of a, it's not something you just casually do.
Right.
You know? And if there's anyone that's brainwashing, it certainly isn't done at Camp Constitution or the Laurie and Liberty Show, but it's being done by the left because they have the classrooms of our of America. They have the classrooms of the world, and they have these poor children 5 days a week, 6 to 7 hours a day, plus homework. And they don't invite Willie Soon to write the curriculum, do they? They
get guys like Al Gore writing the curriculum. Unfortunately, they have the dominant, you know, indoctrination right now on a nationwide basis. So we just have our little Camp Constitution. We're like an island in a desolate sea. We have some 80 students. Any of you that are listening, please go to campconstitution.net. It's ridiculously inexpensive. I'd never want to use the word cheap because the information you get is really world-class. Guys like Lord Monckton, Willie Soon, Debbie, I don't want to say her last name.
Chicalupi.
Yeah, she's coming up next. You get so many great speakers, and how much is it? We can say that. It's very, very inexpensive. It's like $350, including meals and everything.
Meals, and we have tuition money available, and we get guys like Willie Soon that volunteer their time.
Yeah.
Lord Monckton, we cover his airline expenses. He comes there for the whole week. Guys like you. So most of the, and we have some top instructors, not just, you know, everyone is good, but we have some world-class instructors there.
So my comment on Lord Monckton, I have to get in a little humor here. So we have a British lord at Camp Constitution where we teach the American Revolution. I said to Lord Monckton, I said, you know, Lord Monckton, the globe may or may not be warming, but down in Hades, they're passing out ice skates right now because we have a British lord at Camp Constitution.
No, indeed. If I may pitch in on the role of Camp Constitution in teaching students, I really hope that we can reach our target goal of a few hundred kids at least for 2019 because we really have a very rich program and very wholesome. This is why I bring even my own kids. I mean, every year now, they beg me, Daddy, please go back to that camp.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
It is something very, very truly interesting and very valuable and very, you know, what you call well-rounded education from science to mathematics, economy, our constitution, and also our church. I mean, so on and so forth. Many, many of these issues are very well-rounded. I mean, no kids should come here, you know, deprived of any real learning. I mean, these kids all will be very, very well-educated in some sense. In fact, if I may even add, is that there were some previous kids who've been to the camp contacted me also this year. I mean, I show you one or two of those, right, Al? And they actually was looking for more information.
Oh, really? Good.
We gladly provide. I mean, tell people, you don't have to go to the camp too, but you please come to the camp. Watch the video, spread the video, tell as many people as you can, tell your grandma, tell your grandkids, everybody, please. Because that's how we can really make a big difference. In fact, we are very close to making a huge difference when these people all over the place may try to target us as something to be really bad.
That's correct.
Further from the truth.
All right, we got to wrap it up. We're going to go to news and a break. So again, thank you so much, Professor Willie Soon, and we'll catch you down the road. May you and your family have a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving.
God bless. Huzzah!
Thank you, Tom. Yep. Bye bye.
Listening to Lori on Liberty on 94.9 News Now. That's stimulating talk. We'll be right back.